Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is located at the 3201 North Division Clock Tower Hill, Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Our phone number in Spokane is 444-0044. Outside of Spokane, toll free, 877-TAP-COIN or 877-827-COIN. We can also be contacted through our website at coinsplus.com. And all of our previously recorded radio shows are available on our website, again, at coinsplus.com. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service, constantly involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals. We buy coins, collections, estates, investment-quality coins. We buy all forms of precious metals. So that includes scrap gold, jewelry, and quality diamonds. We also buy nice quality antique or estate jewelry that's, nice stuff. I mean, we pick up some pretty cool pieces, and we've got some pretty cool stuff for sale every now and then. Something to briefly touch on. The Better Business Bureau last week sent a secret shopper to like 12 businesses in Spokane in conjunction with a new guy who, you know, had put some stuff on his sign that's basically false advertising, trying to guarantee stuff, which I won't get into the technical details. So the Better Business Bureau, in conjunction with a local business, did send a secret shopper out to 12 local businesses that buy gold. Obviously, the business that was in collusion with the Better Business Bureau tried to prop himself up as the number one buyer, but that's phony. He did the, here's what I'd pay, now let's go see what other people would pay. And so anyone can stack the deck like that. However, my point is this. Out of the 12 honest, unbiased secret shoppers, Coins Plus came in number one. And we had no clue that was going on, way above. And I'm telling you, folks, this is crazy. Stuff that was worth around $500, we were paying about $450 on scrap gold, but there was people all the way down into the low hundreds. And that's what's important to understand out there. Pawn shops and jewelry shops were low, low, low. So, you know, just let the numbers speak for themselves. Be wise. Quality jewelry, don't be fooled. Tell your friends. I mean, I know Jewelry Design Center, the Mormon outfit down on Lower Division, owned by Mormons, you know, does a lot of marketing and advertising. They're one of the lowest buyers in the city. I'll just be candid and upfront. A lot of your big name, well-known jewelry stores, they just don't pay well. They thrive on big profits and big margins, and that's just the retail business they're in. We're high volume, low margin, as we say. We're fair all the time. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. But the bottom line is, I've said this before, we're sincere, we're genuine. I talked on the last show about, the quality of an institution reflecting its leadership, which is why this nation is literally sick. We're spiritually sick. I see anger and arrogance in the president and its leadership. It's spawning the same level of arrogance from the constituency and the other political leaders. Now, their recent saying over this budget crisis mess that we just supposedly went through, which isn't over yet, or this kickoff of Obamacare, oh my God. The new saying is, you lost the election, get over it. But that's not true. Congress is a majority of conservatives. They have the purse strings according to the Constitution. The left-wing media is just pounding and pounding on the right. Folks, what they did with Ted Cruz standing up saying how, you know, important it is that we pay attention and we're not wasteful and frugal and we don't spend and borrow our grandchildren's inheritance and John Boehner and the Republicans standing up saying, we don't want to spend any more money. It's destroying our nation to have the left scream, but you froze the government. Where do you stop? I mean, you need to make a point. So what happens? They didn't calculate their cards right and they lost. It's like Kenny Rogers says in his song, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, know when to walk away and know when to run. You never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. They didn't know when to hold them and when to fold them. You never pick a fight you can't win. Okay, that's the problem with what I see going on here. Obama's ruthless. He's got the entire backing of the media, except for Fox, and the vitriol against Fox is insane. I've noticed it's getting to the point where Obama's press secretary, James Carney, will literally just walk right out of the room when Fox is asking questions. Now, I've said I'm not a huge proponent of Fox. It's about all I can semi-tolerate on the national basis. I cannot believe how far left we've swung, folks. I mean, I am just blown away. But like I said, the Fox News vitriol is running rampant. Our president's acting as hostile, angry, arrogant, and hateful as I've ever seen. Unfortunately, I think we're losing it as a nation. The left-wing media is supporting our radical left-wing president, and they appear to be willing to support him no matter what he does. That's scary, folks. To be that biased and that clouded and that blind. And the media just seems to be spiritually blind. I mean, it's almost like they're mesmerized. And you wonder when the Bible talks about the restrainer being lifted. I know a lot of people, like I've said, they tie that to the pre-trib rapture. I'm sorry, I don't buy into that. Pre-trib rapture would be great. It's, to me, it's completely inconsistent with God's nature and his story. I mean, all the stuff that we've been through in the building up to this crescendo, and then he just snaps all of his people out and lets the world crash and burn. That's just not God. That's not the Bible. Oh, but he pulled Noah out, you know, and yeah, he did. He saved a remnant. He carried him through the flood. Oh, but he pulled Enoch out. Yes, he did, and he's bringing him back later. However, I believe God did a lot of individually cool things that are going to come back together at the end, but not with his entire body. It's just like when Christ said to John, what's it to you if I let him live until I return? And John says, he didn't say I would, he just said, what if? But John didn't say he wouldn't. John was on Patmos till he was 85 years old. He disappeared. Later on, the Catholics created stories about him dying in Ephesus and Galatia. There's no verification or substantiation of that whatsoever. There are stories called John the Presbyter over the years in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, of a man who had a kingship, who was phenomenally Christian, incredibly knowledgeable. And when people noticed he wasn't aging, he suddenly disappears. Here's a statistic for you that just came out. 38% of Americans say they do not watch national news, read national newspapers, or access any national news on the internet or elsewhere for more than two hours per week. Of that 38% group, over 86% of them consider themselves Democrats or liberals, and over 90% vote primarily Democrat. What this means is that while our president and his party are behaving in ways that most of our mothers would call rude, arrogant, disrespectful, or just plain nasty, 3/8 of our population doesn't see it or doesn't care. They just pick up snapshots of the propaganda from the left-wing media, so they're persuaded to literally run our nation down the drain. Politics used to be a topic to be avoided, while economics was something no one knew enough to discuss. Now the two topics of politics and economics are inseparable. Both seem to be stamping a dire future for America. A future, in my opinion, that was feared and warned about by our founding fathers. We've become divisive and angry about everything. Again, apologies that this is like True Wealth / Obama. But folks, these are current events and current affairs. I think that the leadership in this nation is putting us into a terrible crisis. I think financially it applies to what we do. It applies to what you need to do. You need to adhere to biblically financial principles, okay? We've got a president who lied and lied beyond your wildest dreams. You know, this health care law, he said what? You're going to keep your doctor if you like him. Tens of thousands of people now are dumped. They tried to do the Obamacare kickoff. What happens? Big crash. What does that mean? It means that all he wants to do is get healthcare on the books to get the Cloward and Piven strategy in play. Folks, this is the clamp. FDR was a radical cuckoo nut, okay? He was a socialist communist, but he still had America in his blood and he didn't realize it. He did a lot. They built crazy things, big bridges and national parks, and he reserved a lot of stuff for us. And he built an America to last. Obama wants to build some third world kook shop that's literally going to come blowing apart at the seams. If you are not financially prepared, folks, I understand that the chaos is absolutely overwhelming. I understand that the metals have taken this ridiculous beating over the last year that is senseless and makes no sense. It is the product of massive manipulation. It is more part of the redistribution of wealth. They're forcing people into the paper markets. Last time they did it in 08, it just came tumbling down and just sucked the life out of everybody financially. They just keep bringing in these big, you know, Mike Tyson right hooks. They've, in their minds, they've got to deplete our wealth, redistribute it, make us broke, and then dependent on the government, living welfare check to welfare check. That's what they want to do. We have seen now with Obamacare coming on, planning ahead, company layoffs, people are getting their hours shortened because they've redefined what full-time health care is. They've incentivized fast food workers to be excluded from health care coverage. We've seen corporate scale backs on benefits. Doctors are opting out of the healthcare law. Insurance premiums are going to skyrocket. I mean, they've gone up already. What they're estimating is anywhere from like 40% to 300% premium increases. Obama promised they'd be cheaper. There's hundreds of exemptions that he provided recently for corporate enrollment under the employer mandate law, while refusing to offer the same delays to individuals despite a disastrous enrollment kickoff, which is washed over by the radical left wing. We've seen this crashing website despite stringent impending deadlines. We've seen the delay of numerous key provisions of the health care plan put off by Obama, unreliable premium calculations due to a malfunctioning and faulty website after the American government has paid over $100 million towards a website that was all built on labor and materials contracts with no caps on expenditures. What? That means that they can just keep working and working and working and keep billing. $100 million for a website, folks? Come on. Just like Obama's $100 million South African trip. What is wrong with us? Is he our pharaoh? Can you imagine the wealth accumulation of these three companies that are responsible for designing, implementing, and managing the online aspects of Obamacare? The contractors responsible for this exchange, CGI Federal, built the website. Quality Software Systems, QSSI, built the information hub that determines the eligibility for programs and provides the data on qualified insurance plans, and a company called Booz Allen that enrolled and dictated eligibility and provides technical support. These are all scrambling to deploy more fixes. The tech support centers are just buried. They can't handle any of the influx. They knew how many people were coming. Obama gave us the deceptive promise that he'd cover 30 million more Americans with health care with no increase in premiums. How do you do that? That's false. Now there's 30 million Americans that still are going to go without coverage while the premiums have gone up from, you know, 50 to 300%. The people that are going to lose coverage, though, it was kind of the poor and down and outers. They're going to have it. And now it's going to be the middle-aged white working Americans who can't afford coverage because their employers will have opted out. The unemployed and illegal aliens will all have coverage. Nearly all young people will be covered. But the true discrimination will oppress the weakest Obama constituency, which is that middle-aged white working American. which is attempting to capture, Obama's attempting to capture just the young and Latino constituencies while they bully the WASPs, you know what those are, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, into a desperate plea into medical health care coverage. Again, they promise to cover all these pre-existing conditions with no wait period and no effect on premiums. Obviously, blatantly false and impossible. It shows the serious lack of business understanding of our president. He's never worked in the real world after being marinated in completely foolish, progressive, socialistic, communistic ideology by his true biological father, also political and philosophical mentor, Frank Marshall Davis. I don't know if you guys all know that story, but his real biological father has pictures of his mother naked and all this stuff. Frank Marshall Davis was a radical left-wing influential man. He's the one that plugged Obama in as the Manchurian candidate. I'm sure he called out a bunch of favors before his death, and they picked up little Obama and they brought him up that special ladder where, you know, I think I touched on the last half hour, the 30-year reunion at Columbia University. No one had ever heard of him. 700 students. He just appeared out of nowhere on paper. And then, you know, at Harvard, he basically didn't exist. And yet he was the head of the Harvard Law Review. No one saw him or knew him. They remember him being there for a few short weeks. I could go on with the lies. He promised to never raise taxes on the middle class, but then in addition to raising taxes, he added all these other fees and changes in calculations and extra expenses and disguised taxes, all different ways. Obama won't release any of his transcripts. Why? Something stinks. Something's wrong. He's not worried. He's got people protecting him. If that were you and I and you were living the lie, I would not be able to sleep. With the power of the media and the law enforcement and everything in this nation to just peel back one layer of the truth, but he knows he has nothing to worry about. I mean, wow is putting it lightly. If Obama had to pay all of his campaign promises, as I've said, $23 trillion, which would have been over four times the deficit when he took office, even he would find that money hard to locate. He encouraged the sequester so he could blame shift and govern through chaos. We've had one debt ceiling crisis after another, all so we can govern through chaos and catastrophe. This is Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. The biggest thing now I mentioned earlier is the Democrats are doing that. We won, you lost. It's the law of the land. Do you recall how they shoved that thing through? Nancy Pelosi, we have to pass it to see what's in it. The health care bill, it was aggressively, deceptively, unconstitutionally, and recklessly jammed down the throats of the American public. One of the biggest travesties is the Supreme Court Justice Roberts foolishly and cowardly upheld the bill as a tax, which Obama and Democrats swore it never was. I believe the Supreme Court Justice may have done this out of fear of retaliation from the warning from Obama and his henchmen. They came out in public and made a warning to him. They pretty much said, discard what this man says. Justice Roberts warned our constituency to elect a better official to protect against the nation, stating it wasn't the Supreme Court's job to unwind the actions of a poorly elected leader. Now, here's another thing. I wondered when that happened. Was he spiritually driven to do that? Because look, we definitely do not have the leadership that this country needs. This country is down and out, and we're not repenting, and we don't have a revival. We have the leader that we deserve. We have lost all of our morality. Look through Revelations, the second half of chapter 17 through 18, Mystery Babylon, the collapse of the trade towers, in my mind, clearly. Look at 60 million abortions. And think about the end of Revelations 18 when it says the main thing we traded in was the bodies and souls of humans. I mean, it's abortion, folks. We are now reaping what we've sown, which is terrifying. Luckily, God judges nations different than he judges individuals. As an individual, We can pray, protect ourselves, pray for the best, prepare for the worst. As a nation, that's a whole different situation. Our nation was blessed because it was built on Christian foundation and principles. We're running away from that as fast as possible, and sooner or later, God is going to have to turn his back on this nation, and he may have already done that. I know people who look at history say, hey, you know, things come and things go. The pendulum swings one way and then the other. But I think there's no doubt we live in a darker age now than ever before. This is a spiritual time. We're seeing things on this earth that we've never had recorded before, greater disasters, crazy, crazy things. We're deifying our president as if he's a pharaoh. The radical left has vilified the Tea Party into something that when they speak about it, it's like the KKK. They did the exact same vilification was done by the British towards the original Tea Party in the 1700s right here in America. And this Tea Party parallels from now to then are truly astonishing. Why does the left keep bringing up race over and over? It's sad and hateful, and it's sick and divisive. Anger is beginning to boil in this nation, and there's been one situation after another where they keep injecting race. So the bottom line is this: Obama's spending is completely out of control intentionally. He wants more, more, more. The Cloward and Piven strategy is pivots specifically on healthcare. They propose a, quote, massive drive to recruit the poor onto the welfare rolls. Cloward and Piven calculated that persuading even a fraction of potential welfare recipients to demand their entitlements would bankrupt the system. The result they predicted would be another, quote, a profound financial and political crisis, unquote, that would unleash, quote, powerful forces for major economic reform at the national level. This is how Obama's doing it. He doesn't have to make them demand it. He demanded it for them through healthcare, folks. This is the deal. That's why there's so much hate and anger and vitriol. That's why the American public have been lulled to sleep with American Idol or Who's Got Talent or whatever the Kardashian type behavior. Folks, Desperate Housewives, what is wrong with us? Do you know how sick and stupid we've become? At least in Rome, they still respected men by watching the gladiators. Now, what do we respect? I don't know. Again, all of these paid protesters and where they're busing people in to protest, demonstrations, this is all Cloward and Piven. So I got that point made. I ended the last show on Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. I'm going to pick that up for the rest of this show. Rule one was power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. It says it's derived from two main sources, money and people. Okay, folks, money, money, money. I'm sorry, but Solomon said money's the answer to everything. They're going after the money source. They want to destroy it to break the back of America. You had better preserve your wealth. Now's a great time to buy. A very wise and successful investment strategy. Be fearful when everyone's greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful. Rules for radicals, basically in a nutshell. You know, it's all about controlling the conversation. He says point blank, create insecurity, anxiety, uncertainty. You know, attack, attack, attack. He says create confusion, fear, retreat. You know, twist and turn and deceive. And then they say ridicule is man's most important weapon to tear down all the time. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new tactics. He says attack, attack, attack from all sides. Never give the organization a chance to rest, regroup, recover, or re-strategize. Threaten everything you can. Terrify them. Push a negative hard enough so that it will become a positive. Create violence. Incite violence, he says. Be loud. Loud demonstrations. He actually tells them, identify the problem, but do not provide a solution. Just attack the problem. I mean, this stuff is so unbiblical. The last rule, 12, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions, he says. People hurt faster than institutions. Be cruel and effective. Direct, personalized criticism and ridicule works. This is the philosophy of the left now under Obama, folks. You can't, it's guerrilla warfare. You cannot fight it. And we're trying to use rational, ethical, common sense, and we're being made fools of. Truth will reign supreme in time, but boy, when the devil attacks and he's getting smarter, it stings. We are under heavy spiritual attack. To close the show out, I did a little research biblically and came up with three basic principles on investing. Number one, Solomon, okay? Proverbs, he says, be cautious, be careful, be thorough. Know what you're doing. Understand what you're doing with your money. Do not be greedy, folks. Number two, Paul, the Apostle Paul, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is philargia, which means the greedy, covetous love of silver, because silver was money. The word, there's one word that means the love of money. It's not like one of the love words. What it is, folks, is it's covetousness. The love of money, you want it. It's going to make your life better. You need it. That is wrong. Now, the third principle I went after was the parable of talents. What happened? God gave to each according to his ability. The one got two, the one got five or whatever. But guess what? According to their ability, one got one. And what'd he do? He buried it in the ground. And then he said to the master, you reap where you don't sow. He's telling him, you don't deserve it. You have a sense of entitlement. He's projecting. He's blame shifting. He's putting his own weaknesses. He's greedy. But what happens? We see people that are frivolous in the church and we judge, right? Because who are we? But guess what? God does. The guy who's a greedy, squeezy, tightwad, what's God do? That's the guy he casts into hell. Okay, God hates that spirit. God likes a risk taker. And that man with the one talent was bound by what? Fear. God hates fear. Fear grips us. Fear is not from God. Jealousy and covetousness is not from God. He hates fear, folks. Perfect love casts out fear. If he gives it to you, you step out. If you're worried about losing your money to such a point you won't even let go, you make God sick. Be wise. Be the parable of talents. Get it out there. But the love of money is also the greed that drives people to get into the market. They want a get-rich-quick scheme. Oh, no, I don't want to get rich quick. I just want my money to go up at 10% a year for the next 30 years. It's the love of money, folks. God gave you a prescription. It's metals-based assets. Gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life. That's what he gave you. Don't let greed and stupidity get you. You will get all the money sucked out. You'll be a fool in his money, which are soon parted, as Proverbs says. Give Coins Plus a call. Get that stuff moving where it belongs. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a great week.